says, John chapter 21, 15 says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." You know, this passage is important for a number of reasons. First of all, I think that it's a passage of reconciliation between Peter and Jesus Christ. After Peter denied Jesus Christ three times, Jesus has given him an opportunity to declare his love for him three times. It just seems like this is the reconciliation that he needed. Peter needed it. I don't know that Jesus needed it, but Peter needed it. And he got his opportunity, and he served the Lord the rest of his days. And so it was worthwhile. And it's a beautiful story there, too. It also tells us that a lot of times you don't have the ability to prove your love to God. And sometimes you just have to say, Lord, you know I love you. You know it. I can't prove it. I mean, I just blew it. I just threw away any possibility of proving to you or anyone else that I love you. I mean, it would be nice if I could show you all the things I've done to prove that I love you, but I have nothing to show, and you're putting me on the spot, but you know that I love you. And that's also beautiful to me. It's important to me to know that I can say, Lord, you know. Yeah. If Peter could love the Lord and say, Lord, you know I love you, and the Lord accept that, well, then sometimes I can say, Lord, you know I love you, even though I can't prove it. But there are several things here that make me, you know, they come to mind when I'm thinking about this passage. Just the thought that Jesus says to Peter, lovest thou me? Do you love me? And says it three times, even to the point of grieving Peter. And it makes me think that there's something to this that we ought to consider. It ought to be something in our minds, foremost in our minds. In fact, it ought to be a basis for our lives. I think we need to understand some things. First of all, you need to understand that there's a lot of confusion in the world today about love and about what it means. There's a lady in Toluca who has, she's close to accepting the gospel if she hasn't already accepted the Lord. I'm not absolutely up to date on where she is at in her Bible studies, but Debbie's given her studies. She lives over there near our house. She's very close to accepting the Lord, and she comes to our meetings. She has a son who, irresponsible as he is, he went out and got a girl pregnant, and they talked to him about marrying the girl and doing the right thing, and he's arguing against it, fighting against it, doesn't want to marry the girl. And he tells his mom, and his mom repeated it to us, tells his mom, "But mom, it's a mistake to marry someone you don't love." Now, I got news for you. Love is a commandment.
That's right.
Love doesn't just happen. Love is not something you just feel.
Amen.
Love, your feeling of love, or whether you feel like you love someone or not, should have nothing to do at all with the decisions you make.
Amen.
That's right.
In fact, since it is a commandment that you are to love, then you can never use that as an excuse not to do the right thing.
That's right.
It reminds me of that wicked, abominable, silly person called Amnon, son of David, who wanted his half-sister, the sister of Absalom, to sleep with him, and tried to talk her into it for I don't know how long, tried to talk her into it, and she kept saying, "No, if you want to marry me, that's a different thing." And so one day he faked being sick, and she came in to help him, and he raped her. But then he despised her. He hated her. He hated her more than he loved her before. Now, if that doesn't boil your blood, that just makes me mad. You take a young man who's willing to do, first of all, to use the woman for his own gratification, and then when he finds out He's got consequences. He's not willing to marry the woman. And he uses the excuse that he is also a wicked sinner and that he doesn't love her. And rather than repent and say, look at me, what a wicked person I am. Look what I've done. I'm going to do the right thing. He actually feels like he has some kind of an excuse. He said, well, I don't love her, and I think it would be a mistake to marry someone I don't love, because if you marry for any other reason but love, nonsense!
Yeah, that's right.
That's just nonsense! It's like you don't even have the first basis in understanding what love is. Love is not some emotional feeling that you get to guide you through life. Love is a decision you better make, or God is going to hold you accountable. You see, because love is a commandment. And the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. You're to love the Lord thy God. That's the first, the most important, the foremost commandment. But that's not the only commandment. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. Not if you feel like it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. And don't be smart and try to ask God, well, who's my neighbor? God's already answered that question. You tell me where you live, I'll point out your neighbors. There's all kinds of ways to get out of doing what God said, but love is a decision you make. Whether you're going to do it or not, that's up to you. I get so tired of dealing with marriages where they don't understand that love is not an option.
That's right.
Love is not something you lose. Love is something you just decide to stop doing. You say in your marriage, well, the spark is gone. Well, join the crowd. Join the crowd. The spark's gone. You guys know what a spark is? It's one of them little things that flies off, and is bright for a little bit, and then it's gone. You got to make some more sparks. You don't expect to hold one spark and keep it going forever, do you? Yeah, she's sparking right now. Yeah. I love her to death. Her dad wouldn't take her back, but I couldn't do any better, I guarantee you. Look, let me tell you something. There's a lot of marriages that are in trouble just because they have the wrong idea about love.
That's right.
They just don't understand. Love is not an option. You are commanded to love your husband.
Right.
Do you hear me? You're commanded to. You are commanded to love your wife. And if you say, well, I just don't, well, then you're a sinner.
That's right.
And it's time for you to repent.
Amen.
It's not about, whether she, fills that void anymore. Who cares? Maybe it's time for you to fill the void.
Yeah.
It's not about how you feel about it. It's not about whether it fulfills you. It's not about if you find yourself in a dead-end marriage with children that are screaming and you want out. It's about deciding to love who God told you to love.
Amen.
And you must love your husband. You must. It is a command. You must love him. And you must love your wife. And you must love your children. And you must love your neighbor. And you must love God with all your heart. It's a commandment. I'll tell you something else. Love is the only acceptable motivation for your service to God. Now you be careful, because there's lots of motivations. And God has given us many, many, many motivations. But you'll find that the only acceptable motivation is love for God. Peter was ready to die for Jesus, and he had to be reminded, but do you love me? It's important that you understand that God did not create a lot of people. Actually, he did create quite a few people, but not quite there yet. Got to gather my thoughts. God could have put this love response in us by nature so that there was no difficulty. I mean, it could have just been natural. Sort of the same way, you like to hold a puppy. It's kind of enjoyable to hold. I don't know why. It feels good.
You like to squeeze it. You like to... it's in us, you know. It looks cute. It's cuddly. God could have made it so that we just naturally, just by rote, like robots, we could have just fawned all over it. But he obviously didn't do that because people just don't love God. I mean, it doesn't seem to be part of their natures to love God or to serve Him out of love. He could force us to love Him. He could make us miserable until we loved Him. And He's not doing that either. Or He's warned us of the terrible consequences of disobeying Him and make us love Him out of fear. But that would be kind of fake, wouldn't it? I mean, if we're just so afraid of Him that we have to make the show of love to Him, well, that's not exactly what we're looking for either. Obviously, love has to be the motivation. If we obey God because we fear Him, it's good that we obey God when we fear Him. And He did give us that motivation to fear Him, to make us obey God. And yet, can we say that that is a satisfying reason to serve God? To obey Him? To give Him service? Is it a satisfying reason just because we are scared to death of what He'll do to us if we don't? I do not believe that is the acceptable motivation. It is a motivation, and sometimes that's about the only thing that works. But that's not the right one. That's not the best one for sure. I don't believe it's an acceptable motivation. You know something? I do not believe that you can possibly, if you'd understand it well, you can possibly please God even if you obeyed the law, but if you obeyed Him because of fear of the consequences or even because of experience. I mean, let's say you've gone through so many trial and errors of your sins and you wind up deciding not to sin anymore. If the motivation, how about if the motivation is the prospect of reward? I mean, would you be satisfied if your wife loved you because someone was paying her to? No, of course not. That's not a good enough acceptable motivation. Because if you serve God for any other reason, even if it's the motivation of some prospect of reward, then you love that reward rather than God. And what you really want is that reward. If you don't love Him for who He is, if you do not love Him and serve Him because of that love, then it's not acceptable. It's not good enough. Now, it might be a good start. And I do believe that, you know, you need to teach your children sometimes by other motivations besides love. You know, somebody say, oh, we're just going to teach him all through love. Well, you won't teach him much. You've got to give some other motivations. You really do need to learn, you know, that carrot and stick thing where, you know, you offer some reward and you offer some punishment and it begins to work. And then after a while, they might learn about this love and actually begin to serve you and to obey you out of love. But there are necessary other motivations. And so, yes, God has brought other motivations into play. But you can't say that He would be satisfied if the whole world trembled in front of Him and yet did not love Him. In fact, I can tell you, it's clear as day, you have not obeyed the law until you've loved it. And that is the foremost commandment. It's the main one. In fact, if you could just get that one, you could forget about all the rest.
That's right.
You wouldn't even have to read that whole Old Testament thing.
Yeah, that's right.
You just get that one down and you got it. Because that is the motivation God is looking for. He's looking for people who love Him. Yes, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. This is what He is looking for right now. God is looking for people who love Him. And they're few and far between, of course. Now, you'll notice also that love is the desire of Christ. He wants to be loved. He wants to be served out of the motivation of love. He wants men and women who love Him, not because of the rewards that He gives, not because of the fearful nature of His person, but that serve and obey and worship and are faithful to and praise because of love. And so then that makes you hear the question, Jesus saying, do you love me? This is Jesus. He's asking, lovest thou me? Because until you can answer that question, Yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. You haven't reached it. You haven't attained it. You're not there yet. He's not satisfied with you yet. That means you can serve God. You can actually give your body to be burned. And yet, if you have not love, you are nothing. You haven't even begun. You can just start over. Because love is the motivation. Love is the desire of Christ. He wants you to serve Him because you love Him. He wants you to come and meet here, not because it makes you feel useful or part of a group or, you know, find a wife. There's lots of reasons to meet here. They're just not good enough. It might seem sort of pathetic for God to be going around saying, do you love me? Does anybody love me? Is there anybody out there that loves me? Kind of like that Dr. Seuss book, little chicken walking around saying, are you my mother? It's kind of pathetic, you know. But it's not pathetic because God deserves to be loved.
That's right.
I mean, stop and think about the people love. I mean, some girls are so silly, they love someone because of the hat they're wearing. No, I'm serious. This is ridiculous, but that happens. Teenage girls, there's no understanding them. I'm serious. That's amazing. What makes people love people? What I don't understand. It's the mystery. We'll never understand Magda. Right, Josh? We're not going to get that. I saw her picture back there. She looked like a deer caught in headlights. I'm wondering what they drugged her with to get her to go all the way through that. It's a real surprise, Josh, I'm telling you.
Amen.
I don't know what causes it. Yeah, I'm afraid so. Are you going to tell me? He definitely got lucky, I'll tell you. Oh, well. I'm happy for you, Josh. I just really am happy for you. That was a real surprise. She's not blind. She's not desperate. She's not ugly. And I don't know what you did, boy. But I'm really glad for you. Are you going to tell me that God doesn't deserve to be loved? You know, just as a creator. My goodness, I mean, if anybody deserves to be loved, it's God as our creator.
That's right.
I mean, hasn't everything He's done been so good? Have you ever seen a rainbow? You ever seen a freshly fallen snow? You ever seen a sunrise? It just take your breath away. I mean, if that was all you had to go by, wouldn't that mean I want to know who designed all this? I want to know Him. I want to be next to Him. I want to find out who He is. I want to love Him. I mean, if you can fall in love with someone because of a peculiar hat they're wearing, surely you could fall in love with the very Creator that designed the whole thing. My goodness, you ever tasted a watermelon? This is our Creator. Look what He's done for us.
Amen.
If ever anyone deserved to be loved, God deserves to be loved.
Right.
Do you love Him? Are the things you do motivated because you love Him? Or do you not even consider what He is, what He's done, what kind of God He is? Think about the people who really are love-worthy in our lives, whether it's a father or a mother. You have to stop and think, if anyone deserves to be loved, God deserves to be loved.
Amen.
So why isn't He loved? How is it possible that people can walk out and see the same sunrise that you and I see and not love the one who created that thing and not seek Him with all their heart? What is it about it? What happens to people that they can completely repudiate the Lord, the Creator? The Bible says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge.
Right.
They did not like it. Why? What was wrong with God? We have a brother in the church in Toluca. He got saved recently, and his marriage has been on the rocks a long time. His wife just stopped loving him. John knows him a lot better than I do, but he's been my foot doctor for a while, and so we've had a few chances to talk, and he's confided in me for several things. And one day he was just a little bit emotional, and he said, "What did I do? I was never unfaithful. I always provided. She just says she doesn't love me anymore." He's brokenhearted. No understanding why. I'll tell you why. She's a child. She's a selfish, self-centered child. She's wanting to regain her high school days or something. I don't know. But think about the wonder, the bewilderment. If this man can have this feeling, why? What did I do? What am I? What am I? Am I ugly? Am I a poor provider? Am I not a good conversationalist? What is it about me that is so repulsive that she doesn't love me anymore? What could God say? What have I done? What did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? Did I not make things well enough? Did I not give you a good enough life so that you could respond to me, that you would rather almost do anything at all rather than be with me, rather than love me, rather than stay with me and be faithful to me? What have I done? What more could have I done? God says those type of things. He deserves to be loved, even if it's just as a creator.
Amen.
Even if it's as a father. Even if it's as a father to say, "My Lord, how much wisdom has He given us? How many proverbs has he listed out for us to guide us through the hard times? How much more wisdom could He give? How much more preparation and care to make sure our lives are the fullest that they can be? My, the wisdom that He has given, the attention that He's given, the faithfulness over the years, what He's done for us. How about as a father? Doesn't He deserve to be loved? You ever had a father, a mother that guided you through the hard times? That was there for you when you needed them? Don't they deserve to be loved? Even if they do wrong, they deserve to be loved. Even if they've messed up, they deserve to be loved. And how much more if they didn't mess up? What about as a Savior? We love Him because He first loved us. What guarantee was there when He gave His all on the cross that it would be requited, that it would be responded to? Up to then, He had done all kinds of things and it hadn't been requited.
Right.
He had tried. He had given. He had spoken. He had cajoled. He had counseled. He had begged. And it wasn't requited. People didn't love God for all the things that He had done up to then. Hadn't He sent messengers? Hadn't He sent prophets? Hadn't He done it over and over and over again? And yet, it wasn't enough. And He says, "Last of all, I'll send my Son."
Right.
Last of all, I'll send my Son. Surely, this will work. But on the basis of what? What confidence? And then what? They killed Him. They killed Him. But He did all of that out of love. And this is love scorned. Scorned this day. Love scorned. Let me tell you something. He deserves to be loved. Jesus Christ has done enough to deserve to be loved. This is not a pathetic plea of some loser. This is the one that has given you everything you have and gone all the way caring for you. And He can say now, why? Why? Why can't you serve me just because you love me? Why do I have to give you riches for you to serve me? Why does church have to be interesting? Am I not worth a little sacrifice? Do you not think I'm worth a little of your time? Maybe a little discomfort? Why does He have to answer all of our prayers for us to love Him? And the moment He quits answering our prayers, we begin to complain. We begin to wander, our eyes looking other ways, become discouraged, leave the church. He says, "What? Do you understand what love is? Do you understand when He says, 'Do you love me?'" What He's asking? He's obviously not saying, "As long as I give you things, as long as I take care of you and you don't get sick, as long as I provide for you and everything falls into place for you, do I really have to reach into my pocket and pull out pocket change for you to say you love me, for you to hug my leg?" This is the question God is asking. Do you love me? And be careful, because this is an important answer. Do you love me? Because this is the reason for your life. You have no other reason. There is nothing else to live for. Only to love Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. And if you are living for anything else, you are wasting your life.
That's right.
You lose it all at the end and you offend the one person who's done everything for you. Because he will not be satisfied unless you love him. I think of so many people, so faithless, so inattentive, so self-centered in their lives, so focused on material things, that's all they can think of in their entire life. It's from one thing to the next, constantly focused on the wrong things. And I think, how can people be so shallow, so worldly? And I'm talking about unsaved people, people who don't understand the Bible. Even they, I wonder how can they honestly go from one toy to the next, year after year after year after year, until their bodies fall apart and they die, and not ever realize this is not it. This is not what life's about. You have to find Jesus Christ and love him, or you have no life at all. You have nothing. And I'm talking about people who have no reason to follow the Bible. They've never been shown by example how to live according to the principles of the Word. But then how much more when I see Christians who are exactly the same self-centered people. So selfish, so self-involved, so considerate only of their own lives and their own welfare. Christians just aren't that much different than anybody else. They say 35% of the population of the United States is evangelical Christian. I'd like to find some of those 35% driving out on the road somewhere. Just show up, you know, by your actions and by your attitude, and maybe see 35% of us being a little courteous, being a little bit right. It's incredible to me. Where are they all? Something's happening. But let me tell you something. How about right here in this church? I have no reason to doubt that you're not sincere, real, heartfelt Christians. And yet can you tell me that you love Jesus Christ? And that what you do and how you serve him is based on love for his person? And that if he took away the toys that he's given you, you would respond with love? With saying, Lord, I've got plenty. I don't need that. My goodness, you know. Maybe just because we're spoiled children, and we are. But just because we're spoiled children, we haven't learned that lesson yet. But that's why Jesus is asking. Think it over. Do you love me? Wasn't it Jesus that said, I have somewhat against thee, that thou hast left thy first love? Do you ever remember loving Jesus Christ more than you do now? Boy, I can remember that. I can remember when the Lord talked to me and I could not believe that he would have come hunting for me, singled me out, changed my life, made me think different. I just couldn't believe it. I was so overwhelmed with the thought that he could love me, that he would do all this for me, that he would actually go to the cross thinking of me, that he would give his life for me, and that he would have prepared things for me, even from before the foundation of the world, prepared things for me. Thinking of me. And I tell you, I responded. I responded by loving him. I wanted to please him. I wanted to serve him. But I wasn't thinking of reward. I can remember. I wasn't. You know, we talked about sacrifice. You know, how much you sacrifice. I remember going to language school and the brothers there saying, why, how much you sacrifice? And I'm thinking, what did I sacrifice? I wasn't rich. It never seemed like a sacrifice. It was meaningless. It was for love. It was because I cared about him. Because I thought, if he did this for me, what else is there in life except to serve him, to love him, to worship him? Let me tell you something. You ever meet Jesus Christ, you'll never raise your voice in praise to the Virgin Mary again.
Amen. Amen.
You ever give your life to Jesus Christ and recognize the love that he had for you, you would never ask St. Jude of the impossible cases. You'd never ask him for anything.
That's right.
Lost causes. I think that's what they say in English. St. Jude of the lost causes. I'm telling you, he's all there is.
That's right. Amen.
He is the only one worthy of our love.
Amen.
And love is a good enough reason for nothing else. Nothing else is necessary. Just the fact that he gave his life for us and proved his love for us over and over, and that we can turn around and love him, not because he gives us stuff every day, not because he makes us feel good and we get a warmth in our heart, even if he makes you feel lousy, even if you're sick and vomiting, even if you see all kinds of tragedy in your life, he's worthy of our love.
Amen.
And everything we do, we can do just because we love him. And you don't even need the reward. That's good enough. You think it might please him? And oh, you just want to please him. You just want to see his face pleased. And that's reward enough. Can you think of any greater reward? What, do you want to be rich in heaven? Sure, that's a reward. That's a motivation. I wouldn't mind being rich in heaven. I wouldn't mind being rich here. I'm not against being rich. But let me tell you something. That's just not a good enough reward. I remember I preached in Mexico. I know everybody here who's preached in Mexico, and probably happens in Poland too, but everybody here who's preached in Mexico, they always ask you, how much do they pay you? How much do they pay you to do this? How much would you pay me if I did this? Nothing. They'll come in there and they'll say, oh, you only do it because they pay you to do it. Let me tell you something. There's nobody could pay me enough to do that. You couldn't pay me enough to sit there and get somebody spit in my face. You can't pay me enough for that. You don't have enough, I can tell you. The only reason we need is because Jesus Christ deserves to be loved.
Amen.
So he says, do you love me? Are you willing to serve me just because you love me? This is what he's looking for. He's not looking for greedy people who are willing to investigate, make a little bit more back. He's looking for people who want to please him, to serve him just because we love him. So there's the question. Do you love Jesus Christ? I think I can say honestly that I love Jesus Christ. And if he took everything away from me that he's given me, and he's given me a lot of blessings, but if he took everything away, I'd still love Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's nothing else. He is all there is. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to find him more than anything else.
Amen.
You need to find him and give your life to him and know the love that passeth understanding. To know the love of Christ. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.